you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then. Do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 21st, 2023. Joining me in the studio, aside from Pastor Jason Schiffel, who will facilitate our discussion on Who Am I, is one, two, three, four of our board members. We're going to have a board meeting shortly after this program, along with our regular friends, the Zools, the Fernalds, Tad Jagish, and Alaric, who's our faithful. He's attended every single one of these programs, I think,
almost
over 40 but one. So, Alaric, thank you for being a part of today's discussion on Who Am I?
So we're all gathered here together to ask that question, who am I? And spoiler alert, because we talked about this when we began to talk about it last week, is when we read the text of the Bible, we should be having a conversation with the text. We should be reading it and having it ask us questions and asking it questions. And when we see all the different characters that we see throughout the Gospels and the whole of the text of the Bible, they're not there by happenstance. They're there by providence. Now, they're there because they're real-life people who Jesus interacted with, different stories in the Bible interacted with, but they're also pictures of how we are sometimes, pictures of who we are sometimes, meant to teach us lessons about how we act and how we react and what we do in certain situations. And some of it is for our correction and to help us to understand better how to live in God's kingdom. And so today we want to look at Luke chapter 18, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, one of about 500. But Tad, would you read for us Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 18 through verse 30?
Okay. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," the young man said. And when Jesus heard this, he said to them, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And when the young man heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard this asked, "Well, who then can be saved?" And Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." But Peter said to him, "Well, we have left all we had to follow you." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one who has left home, or wife, or brother, or parents, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life."
So what an interesting passage, and what an interesting person that Jesus comes across here. Some texts say a rich man, some texts say a ruler, some texts say a religious leader. What we do know is that this is somebody of prominence. This is somebody of means. And so listen, given where we live and the time that we live in, that's every single one of us. Every single one of us who's sitting here has means. I mean, we are in the upper, 5-10% of all the people in the world in terms of wealth and means and provision. And so we all have prominence. Plus, all of us know people, right? All of us have some kind of platform. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's family, friends, groups of... Tell me some places that you're involved or invested in where you have a voice, where you get to share your testimony about who Jesus is. Anybody?
Bible Study Fellowship.
Bible Study Fellowship. Anybody else?
The Pregnancy Resource Center.
Pregnancy Resource Center.
Yep, in my church.
In your church, okay. Anybody else?
Safe House.
Safe House, all right.
Pinnacle Forum, and we had Judge Sam Lementato on Wednesday's program. And the Pinnacle Forum is high-capacity leaders that invest their time and energy back into the community.
Okay. Anybody else?
Singing men.
Singing men, all right. Anybody else?
I'm a teacher at my church.
Okay, teacher at his church. Anybody else?
Clubs and activities like the bike club.
Clubs and activities just like the bike club. I love that you said that because everybody else, we kind of went to our religious circles, right, which is going to prove a good thing for our conversation in just a moment. But we're all called to make disciples as we go, yes, to share our who we know and who has impacted and changed our lives, Jesus, as we go, everywhere that we go. And so it says here, once a religious leader, a ruler, or a prominent person asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" How many of you think about eternal life?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But listen, guess what? This isn't just a Christian question. I run across people all the time, atheists and unbelievers, who are worried about the future. What does the future hold? What does tomorrow hold? What will things look like next year? What will they look like in 2 years? This is not a problem just for the Christian or just for the believer. This is a problem that everybody wrestles with. And not only do they wrestle for it with themselves, but also for others that they whom they love, you know? But what will things be like for my kids, for my grandkids, you know, my neighbors? And so right away, we find ourselves in the text, right? Because we're asking this kind of question. What does tomorrow hold? Mm-hmm. What does tomorrow hold? And right away, Jesus says this. He says, "Why do you call me good?" You notice that Jesus doesn't even interact with the eternal life question yet. He says, "Why do you call me good?" Why do you think that he does that? Why do you think that immediately he wants to address that?
I think he's trying to draw out of the individual what's his priorities or where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's also trying to make a point that he's the Messiah, because that was greatly in question amongst the leadership of Israel. And when he says that, so what makes you think I'm so good? Why am I special? Why are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the standard. What standard are you using to make that evaluation?
Okay. How many of you, and you don't have to say, answer if you don't want to, but how many of you here in this room or listening right now have something maybe difficult that you're wrestling with or have been wrestling with and you're trying to find a good answer? And sometimes you're actually trying to find a good answer instead of going to God, instead of trusting Him. The fact that He's sovereign, and maybe this place that you arrived in is part of His bigger plan for you, something that you have to go through that's going to help form you more into the person that God wants you to become so that you can arrive at a place that He wants you to have impact and purpose in. Sometimes the things we go through are part of the journey to get to the next place that we're going to. And so right away, I think that Jesus is saying to this, I think yes to everything that we said, but I also think that Jesus is saying, listen, you're looking for good answers to tough questions where you should be looking for God. Mm-hmm. Where you should be handing that over to Him. So right away we find ourselves in the text again, don't we?
We sure do.
Yeah. Listen, Google wouldn't be the number one search engine if it wasn't for the fact that everybody's looking for good answers. Everybody's going to Google and trying to find that answer. That when you go over to Barnes & Noble, a stone's throw away from here, the biggest section in that bookstore is the self-help section. Why? Because people are looking for good answers. You also want to know what one of the smaller sections in that store is? The section that deals with God. Because people want good answers oftentimes more than they want to trust in what God's going to do. So that's what Jesus' corrective is. Well, he goes, "Why do you call me good? Only God is truly good." The good answer you're looking for is only going to come from God. That's what Jesus says. But I like this. Now I'm using the NLT here, and I like the NLT sometimes for the simplicity of language. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good." And then in verse 20 he says, "But," to answer your question, Jesus says, "But I will interact with your question because it's a good question. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and honor your mother." Why do you think that Jesus makes these statements to him?
I think it's interesting that he talks about the second half of the commandments. These are all the commandments in relation to human relationships. He didn't mention any of the first four commandments.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think the guy was looking for a worldly solution to his problem. He's like, you know, "I'm a good guy. I do charity. I help people." He's like, "Well, okay, you've ticked all the boxes."
I love that you brought this up, because what did Jesus, before he said this, what did he say before that? He said there is only one person who's good, and that is
God.
Yeah. And Martin Luther said if you could do the first four commandments, you wouldn't need the rest of them.
Amen. Good
if
point.
You truly yeah. would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, not worship anything else, that you wouldn't even need the other ones, because your heart would be so fully given to what God has for you and trusting Him and following Him that you wouldn't have to worry about the other things. You would put your feet exactly where you need to put them and do exactly what it is that you need to do based on who it is that you know, namely God. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus brings up all these other things, the other commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, honor your father and mother. By the way, sometimes when we see those lists of rules that are in the Bible, they're called vice lists in the New Testament. How many of us read down those lists and go, nope, 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 nope?
Yeah.
Nope. I mean, really, you ever go to Ephesians and you read that list and it says, you know, orgies, and you go, nope, don't have to worry about that. Sexual immorality, wow, I'm not really wrestling with that. Nope. But then as you work your way down that list, it runs into these crazy things like obscene jokes, slander, crude talk.
Yes.
You know, where you go down the list and you go, nope, nope, nope. I just did that one a few minutes ago. And I just did that one a little while ago.
But it's also your thoughts.
Yeah.
God covers your thoughts
yeah.
as well as your words.
Yeah. See, there's a real danger in, because listen, we always want to focus on the big waves, right? And yet it's always the littlest waves that are the ones that actually erode the shore over time. So crude jokes and slander and gossip and those things that seem very small and trivial and insignificant over time become something bigger. They grow 10 heads. For this man, it grows something else, right? Because in verse 21, the man replied, I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young. What do you hear in that statement?
Pride.
Pride.
I'm righteous. I'm holy. And
yeah. Yeah.
It also makes me think I don't know that he realizes it, but he's saying, I've done all the good works. My heart might not be in the right place, but I've gone through all the right motions.
Yeah. He says, I got it all covered. I know it all already. Mm-hmm. How many times have you gone to church, or maybe you've even been in a Bible study, and you come to a passage and you go, I already know this one. I mean, I always tell people when I preach the very familiar passages, these are the dangers of these passages, is that we think we know the story. We think we know exactly what's going on there. And so sometimes in our head, in our heart, we kind of tune it out because we go, I know this one. And yet if the scripture is living and active, if God is consistently at work in the scripture and through the scripture, then the scripture is always new to us because it's always addressing the new problems that have popped up in our hearts. And therefore nobody can say, well, I've got it all covered. Nobody can arrive at the place where this guy is, where he says, listen, I got it all covered. I got it all taken care of. I know all the commandments, and man, I nail them every day. Because right away, all of us even said, no, 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 no. The sin of pride is knocking at this guy's door. And listen, the sin of pride gives way to all kinds of wickedness, doesn't it? Yeah. But listen, again, how many of us in this room have arrived in a Bible study to a text or anything, place like that, a certain, you know, and you go, I know this one. Anybody? Anybody want to be honest? I will.
Sure.
Sure.
Yes.
I'm in Bible study fellowship, and sometimes we arrive at a passage in there, and I'll tell my wife, I'll go, oh, I know this one. I can just answer the questions. And my wife, who's much wiser than me, says, maybe you should read it because God wants to tell you something, instead of assuming you already know what God needs to say to you. Gosh, I didn't want to remember that she said that.
He tells us something different each time we read it.
He does.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does. And me saying I already know the answer assumes that I already know what God wants to say. And God is living. His word doesn't return void. It always accomplishes the purpose from which it was sent. And so it's always working on us. It's always working on our hearts. It's always correcting, steering, guiding, and refining us. And so to say, well, I already know that, that gives way to I already know how I should be, how I should act, what I should do, who I am. And God goes, no, no, not really. When Jesus heard his answer, he said, "There is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Listen, how many of us, if we heard this, this would be hard for us?
It would be.
Sell everything you own. By the way, do you really think that Jesus cares about him selling everything that he owns? Why do you think that he says that?
Just to get him to thinking that this man has to think about who he is and what he's got and how he should react to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, it also exposed how trapped he was with his possessions or attached to him.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, remember, the core of this passage is this man's fundamental misunderstanding of what the greatest thing is, which is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus says, "Sell all your stuff and then come follow me," the man goes, "Yeah, but I treasure all those things." Yeah. And Jesus says, "Why can't you treasure God the most? Why can't God be the highest aspiration, priority, the highest treasure that you have, the thing of the greatest value, the most value? Not only God, but God through his word." How many of us, when we have to make a decision, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but you have to make a decision, the first thing you do is open your Bible. Hey, listen, I didn't say me either, because I don't always do it. And yet the Bible has this crazy verse in it that says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That means if I want to make good and right decisions, I probably need to do what?
Pray first.
Yeah. Not only that, but if I say I live in the kingdom of God, anybody here live in the kingdom of God?
All hands go up.
All hands go up. Then don't you think we ought to consult the king about what we're doing in the kingdom? Because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to who?
Him.
And so Jesus says, listen, you want to know about eternal life? You want to know about all of life? You want to know what's important? You need to get everything out of the way that's got itself in the way of God. And you hearing his voice and being guided by his spirit. And we know this is hard, right? Because the next verse said, "But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich." Sometimes we read this passage and we get stuck up on the riches. This is the way I would rephrase this verse. Now, I want to be real careful because I'm called to be God's messenger, not his editor. "But when the man heard this, he became very sad because he had a lot of things that were between him and God." Mm-hmm. A lot of things that had gotten between him and God. Between him and hearing God's voice, being led by God, being guided by God. Because listen, if he didn't have anything in the way, if he was near and close to God, would he ever have had to ask the question about eternal life?
No.
Never. Never. He would have already known in his heart, he would have a kind of peace to know that he belonged to God's eternal kingdom. The question comes out of this false dichotomy of not understanding his place in God's kingdom and his place in relationship to God. And then when Jesus saw this, he said, "It's hard for the rich, for those who have lots of things between them and God, to enter the kingdom of God." I love that Jesus says it's hard, because it's hard. That's like real honesty. It's hard. Anybody in here think it's easy to follow Jesus?
No.
I wish.
No. We do wish, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
But it's not. It's not easy to follow Jesus. Just think about with me for a moment. How many times did we find ourselves in this text? Tons of times.
Two, three.
Every line.
Tons of times. We're worried about the future. We wonder what's good and what's not good. We have different times in our lives have a bunch of things between us and God. Some things that are there intentionally. Some things that are there that are unintentionally. Sometimes we have them there because of security. Sometimes we get a little prideful in thinking that we got it already covered, that we already know enough about God to be able to get us to where we need to go. And some of us are sad when we realize that fact.
I always think about the fact that we are really rich people. We have so many things that what we have, we worship what we have. Mm-hmm. We have confidence. I've got a new car. It'll take me any place I want to go. We have confidence in things like that, so I don't have to worry about anything else. But that's what I mean. We have so many things, and we put our whole trust in what we have. And I mean, just not just money, but even in friends.
Yeah, my, a good friend of mine said one time that we love to love the things of future garage sales.
Amen.
But the problem is they're the things of future garage sales. They don't last into eternity. And what I want to end with this. Those who heard this said, then who can be saved? And Jesus, wanting to get our eyes back on who?
God.
Says, what is impossible for people, because it's hard, is only possible with God. The very thing you want to do, which is to be near to God, is only possible through God, who draws you close to Him, who gives you the faith to believe, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, who draws you near to Him through His Spirit. And so it's only God who can do that. And so it's a heart that fully submits, yields, and seeks God continually that can do that and be strengthened by Him. So again, do we find ourselves in this text?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Every line. Right.
Yeah. Who am I? We'll continue with this series of discussions on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, so you're all invited to join us on upcoming Wednesday at noon at the Great News Media Center right at Marketplace Mall in Champaign between Lens Crafters and Old Navy. Now, Jason, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up, but today is Ron Fernald's 76th birthday. Hey, Ron! Happy birthday, Ron. A little birdie flew by and told me this, so we appreciate Ron and Sharon Fernald, great friends through the many years.
I didn't know
years.
Ron could turn so red.
So appreciate these friends, appreciate this topic. And if you're struggling with identity, who you are in Christ Jesus, let me encourage you to call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. There's some great friends that can answer questions about who is Jesus, how does God love me, can I trust the Bible? Any kind of questions you may have, you can ask these great folks. It's a free call. And also, if you want them to pray with you, they will. 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends, including board members, be praying up our board meeting. And thanks for being a part of our radio listening family.